Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we're talking about the lab leak that took place in Wuhan, China at the end of 2019, something that we told you about a year ago. And now stunning information is coming out pointing to a cover-up. Was the COVID virus released intentionally? Absolutely it was. It was all part of a global plan to plunge the world into chaos, and its effects are still reverberating around the globe. But before you breathe a sigh of relief that it may be over, careful, careful, it's not over. COVID was just the opening shot. Today we're going to lift the rocks and take a close look at all the vermin squirming underneath. It's a nasty picture. But all these things have been foretold in the Scripture of Truth, and much more is on the way. We're going to help you today prepare yourself for what comes next. In John 8:44, we read this, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and is the father of it." Serving Satan brings fame, wealth, power, influence, right up to the moment that you finish the test that you signed on to do, and then you get thrown under the bus here on earth in advance of being thrown into eternal hellfire in the life to come. Bill Gates dutifully served Satan his entire adult life, and then his service came to an abrupt end. Anthony Fauci is on that same team, and right now we are watching his stunning takedown. But know this, Satan's minions at the New World Order are only pruning to ensure a larger crop. What comes next is going to be very, very ugly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you're gathering here live and for all the thousands of people that will be listening in the archives. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep our eyes open and keep us awake and aware and alert to the truth of the end times. And all these things that are being revealed this week, Father God, about Anthony Fauci and the Wuhan laboratory and the virus and all that stuff. These are things that we talked about a year ago, and we were called conspiracy theory crazy people. We were suspended on Twitter and suspended on Facebook. And even right now, Facebook is in the process of unpublishing our Facebook page that we've had for 10 years with 150,000 followers. And now we're finding out that everything that we have been ostracized and castigated over is exactly the truth. And not only that, there is much more truth to come. So Father God, give us a spirit of boldness and give us a spirit of witness and give us a spirit, Lord. You called us to be soldiers in this end times fight. And we thank you, Lord, for the NTEB family of Bible believers across America and around the world. And we are grateful to be connected, Lord. And we commit this time to you, Father God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. Glad that you're here. We're going to take a little bit of a victory lap today. And I love when we get the chance to do that. We're going to take a little bit of a victory lap today because this week is the week that all this great hubbub about Anthony Fauci's leaked emails, BuzzFeed requested through the Freedom of Information Act, something called FOIA, F-O-I-A. Well, BuzzFeed requested to read thousands of emails sent to and from Anthony Fauci. And when those emails were made public, and they only made those emails public because they're in the process right now of throwing Anthony Fauci under the bus. And somebody has to be sacrificed. And this is always a sign when you see people who serve Satan, people who serve the devil I'm not talking about Satanists. I'm not talking about people who are a member of the Church of Satan. I'm not talking about people who wear the Baphomet goat's heads on their t-shirts or anything like that. I'm talking about the actual followers of Satan. People like Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and George Soros and Bill Gates Sr. and David Rockefeller and all these people that are here to do the bidding of the devil. And that's why Jesus says in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. The COVID virus, and we have always said on this program, we have always said that the COVID virus is a real, actual virus. And right from the very beginning, we urged people to take common sense precautions. Stay away from large crowds. Wash your hands. If you're sick, stay home. Take vitamins. Take zinc and vitamin D3 and vitamin C and magnesium and B complex. These are things that we said from the very beginning, and it's obvious that the COVID virus is a real virus. But we told you last year, and you can go back into our podcasts and you can hear all the shows that we've done about the COVID virus. We told you a year ago that the COVID virus was a manufactured virus and released from the laboratory in Wuhan intentionally. And this week we're hearing about the emails from Anthony Fauci, which seems to show that gain-of-function research was performed at the Wuhan labs in China, and the United States paid for it, and Anthony Fauci knew about it, and Anthony Fauci covered it up. Let's take a listen to Rand Paul talking about whether there needs to be a criminal culpability regarding Dr. Fauci. Take a listen to Rand Paul.
All right, joining us now is one of the few who questioned Dr. Fauci's expertise and motives. As early as we did, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Senator, you are now calling for the firing of Anthony Fauci. What can you do in the Senate to get more answers than the ones that we have from these emails, which are still redacted?
Well, you know, I think we've had a sea change of opinion. Everybody left of center was saying this was a conspiracy. No way could it have happened in the Wuhan lab. Now even Dr. Fauci is saying that we should investigate it. But the emails paint a disturbing picture of Dr. Fauci from the very beginning worrying that he had been funding gain-of-function research. And he knows it to this day, but hasn't admitted. We have to get Democrat counterparts that will actually use the committee hearings to investigate this. But so far, it's been such a partisan support for Dr. Fauci that he can do no wrong. But really, there's a lot of evidence that he has a great deal of conflict of interest, and that if it turns out this virus came from the Wuhan lab, which it looks like it did, that there's a great deal of culpability in that he was a big supporter of the funding. But he also was a big supporter to this day of saying we can trust the Chinese on this. We can trust the Chinese scientists. And I think that's quite naive and really should preclude him from the position that he's in.
And referencing the point you just made, Senator, the emails, they show that Fauci was scrambling in those early days of the pandemic to find out the links between the NIH-funded gain-of-function research and COVID. Now, here's how one of his NIH underlings responded to this email about a 2015 gain-of-function study that was co-authored by the Wuhan Institute of Virology's Bat Lady. And he said, the paper you sent me says the experiments were performed before the gain-of-function pause, but have since been reviewed and approved by NIH. Not sure what this means, since Emily is sure that no coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework. Explain that, Senator. Well, why is that so significant?
Here's, Laura, what makes it worse. 2 weeks ago in committee hearing, he said they did not fund any gain-of-function research I quoted that specific paper.
Right.
So the very paper that he puts in the email, he says, oh my goodness, we need to read this paper because we looks like we are actually funding gain of function research, which is where we juice up these viruses, take them from animals and infect them into humans. He's admitting that to his underling. He's worried about this in February of last year. But only 2 weeks ago, he tells me, oh, it wasn't gain of function research. But in his email, in the subject line, he says gain of function research. He was admitting it to his private underlings 7, 8, 9 months ago.
I mean, could there be criminal culpability here, given the repeated failures of Dr. Fauci, who is basically in charge of much of our messaging on this and advice on this? Could there be criminal culpability here, a fraud or ongoing collaboration with the Chinese when he was making excuses for them?
At the very least, there's moral culpability. In the research done by the bat scientist in Wuhan, she gives him credit. She lists the exact NIH grant with a 10-numeral disclaimer or ID number listing the money and thanking the NIH for the money. It's clearly gain of function. There are several scientists who are in this field, cellular biologists. They all say that taking a SARS virus and adding an S protein to it to make it infect human cells, that is the very definition of gain of function. It's very dangerous. We shouldn't be doing it here or there. But Dr. Fauci has denied it to this day, but the private emails show that he was acknowledging that it was gain of function. Nobody was questioning it. The scientific community needs to look at this because he hides behind this veil of the lab coat that nobody can question him.
Yeah,
but
well,
I believe, and by looking at the evidence, that it absolutely was gain of function research, and he was funding it. And to this day, he's still saying he would do it again because
he
trusts the Chinese scientists.
Yeah.
All right, so there you have Senator Rand Paul. He was on the Laura Ingraham show the other night, and he talked about how Fauci has lied. He has perjured himself under oath, and he is not telling the truth. And the incredible thing is the emails that have come out really show a very, very long and detailed trail of deceit emanating from Anthony Fauci. But even within those emails, there are whole sections of those emails that are redacted. And so what we can see in those emails is absolutely mind-blowing, but how much more information did they redact out of those emails? And this is where the scandal really takes on an epic proportion. Tucker Carlson is saying that Anthony Fauci deserves to be under criminal investigation. Rand Paul says there is criminal culpability, but Tucker yesterday said that Anthony Fauci deserves to be under criminal investigation. Take a listen to Tucker talking about Anthony Fauci and his potential crimes that he may or may not have committed.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. The utter fraudulence of Tony Fauci is obvious now and it's widely acknowledged, but it was not always obvious. In March of last year, we interviewed Fauci on this show. We treated him with respect. We took his answers seriously. We're Americans, so we assume the man in charge of protecting the U.S. from COVID must be rational and impressive. We also assumed he must be honest. But we were wrong. It soon became clear that Tony Fauci was just another sleazy federal bureaucrat, deeply political and often dishonest. More shocking than that, we then learned that Fauci himself was implicated in the very pandemic he'd been charged with fighting. Fauci supported the grotesque and dangerous experiments that appeared to have made COVID possible. We came to these conclusions incrementally, spurred by evidence that accumulated over the course of a year. Tonight, we have the mother lode. Thanks to a Freedom of Information request from BuzzFeed, we have thousands of emails to and from Anthony Fauci. They go back to the early winter of 2020. Collectively, they show that from the beginning, Tony Fauci was worried that the public might conclude COVID had originated at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, why would Tony Fauci be concerned that Americans would conclude that? Possibly because Tony Fauci knew perfectly well that he had funded gain-of-function experiments at that very same laboratory. The emails prove that Fauci lied about this under oath. Consider this exchange, which began the evening of January 31st, 2020. It was a Friday just before midnight. The first email came from an immunologist called Christian Anderson, who works at the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California. Anderson warned Fauci that COVID appeared to have been possibly manipulated in a laboratory. Quote, the unusual features of the virus make up a really small part of the genome, less than 0.1%. So one has to look really closely at all the sequences to see that some of the features potentially look engineered. The next day, on February 1st, Tony Fauci wrote back, thanks, Christian. Talk soon on the call. Fauci then sent an urgent email to his deputy, a man called Hugh Auchincloss. The subject of that email, in all caps, was important. Quote, Hugh, it is essential that we speak this AM. Keep your cell phone on. Read this paper as well as the email that I will forward. You will have tasks today that must be done.
So I'm going to stop Tucker right there for a moment. Let's talk about Anthony Fauci just for a moment. And it's important to remember that Anthony Fauci did not come on the scene in 2020. Anthony Fauci has been around for a long, long, long time. He's been around for 40 years. And right from the very beginning, Anthony Fauci found himself in with the in crowd. And by in crowd, I want to say these are the Satan worshipers that we were talking about earlier. The in crowd for Anthony Fauci was Bill Gates Sr., Bill Gates III, David Rockefeller, George Soros. We have an article going back that we did in December of 2020, A Great Reset Blockbuster. Anthony Fauci, George Soros, Bill Gates Sr., and David Rockefeller together at Carnegie Medal of Philanthropy Awards 2 months after 9/11. And in the article, we said 2 months to the day after the attack on the World Trade Center in New York City, we see a strange and curious sight unfolding on December 11th of 2001 that puts all the main players of the New World Order and the Great Reset in the same room at the same time. With America still deeply in mourning over the deaths of 3,000 people in the Twin Towers collapse and confusion reigning across the land, why are people like Anthony Fauci, George Soros, Bill Gates Sr., and David Rockefeller grinning and so happy at an awards ceremony? Think about who was in that room. Think long and hard. You have George Soros, the main architect behind the New World Order, along with David Rockefeller, who has already admitted to being part of a global cabal. You have Bill Gates Sr., famous eugenicist and the former head of baby-killing corporation Planned Parenthood. Gates' son, Bill Gates III, in 2020, was working hard to vaccinate every human being on Earth and implant them with a digital identification. And last but not least, you have Anthony Fauci, who in 2020 was a key co-conspirator in the Great Reset. Are you awake yet? Do you still think that the crazy events of 2020 weren't already planned decades earlier? Listen to what David Rockefeller said about the New World Order and the accused global conspiracy. You should believe his words. This is what David Rockefeller said about the infamous Bilderberger meetings. He said this, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings," this is the Bilderberg meetings, "and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries." So why was Anthony Fauci in that room 2 months after 9/11 with Bill Gates Sr., David Rockefeller, George Soros, what were they all doing in that room together? That's a really, really good question, and we're going to answer that question before the program is over today.
Attached to that email was a document. It was entitled, quote, Barrick, Shi et al., Nature Medicine, SARS gainoffunction.pdf. Now, the Barrick in the attachment referred to Ralph Barrick, a virologist based in the U.S. who collaborated with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Barrick worked with a woman called Dr. Shi Shengli, known as the Bat Lady because she manipulates coronaviruses that infect bats. She was the Shi in the attachment. Now, keep in mind that during the questioning from Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky fairly recently, Tony Fauci denied that this same Ralph Barrick had conducted gain-of-function research. Again, this is the Ralph Barrick in Fauci's attachment, which was entitled Barrick, Shi et al., SARS gainoffunction.pdf. And yet, under oath before the United States Congress, Fauci denied this.
Dr. Barrett does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina. And if you look at the grant and you look at the progress reports, it is not gain of function, despite the fact that people tweet that.
Oh, it wasn't just on Twitter. It was in Fauci's own emails. In retrospect, that looks a lot like perjury. We do know that starting early last year, a lot of people at NIH were worried that COVID had not occurred naturally. They were concerned it had been instead manipulated in a lab in China. And yet they seemed determined to hide those facts from the public. Again, why? On the afternoon of February 1st last year, Fauci held a conference call with several top virologists. Most of the details of that call were made hidden from public view. They've been redacted. We know the call was related to a document entitled Coronavirus Sequence Comparison. Jeremy Farrar, a British physician who runs a major research nonprofit, reminded everyone on the call that what they said was top secret. Quote, information and discussion is shared in total confidence and not to be shared until agreement on next steps, end quote. In other emails, Jeremy Farrar passed along an article from the website Zero Hedge. That piece suggested the coronavirus might have been created as a bioweapon. We now know that is a more plausible explanation than the one we believed at first and were told by the media, which is that corona came from a pangolin. And yet for the crime of saying that out loud, a more plausible explanation, Zero Hedge was banned from social media platforms. Until recently, you were not allowed to suggest that COVID might be man-made. Why couldn't you suggest that? The fact checkers wouldn't allow it. Why wouldn't they? Because Tony Fauci assured the tech monopolies that the coronavirus could not have been man-made.
So I'll stop Tucker right there for a second. Over the last year, groups like Now the End Begins, Zero Hedge, Steven Crowder, Awaken with JP, Spiros, all sorts of people and all sorts of alternate news websites, they sounded the alarm night and day about all these things that we told you were actually taking place. And what did Twitter and Facebook and all the other social media giants do? They banned us. They suspended us. In some cases, they removed accounts. And they permanently took people off of YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. And the reason why that so many people were banned, because they didn't want the truth to come out. Now they're letting the truth come out. Don't think for a single second that these emails from Anthony Fauci were revealed by accident, or it was poor planning on his part, or anything else. One thing that you have to remember about all these strange and seemingly unconnected events that we're watching on a daily basis, every single thing that you see is planned. For years, the mainstream media protected Bill Gates. For years, Bill Gates gave the mainstream media hundreds of millions of dollars in grants so that they would continue to hide his past and to continue saying nice things about him and to present him as a philanthropist and an environmentalist and an epidemiologist and a virologist. And all these things were done to puff up Bill Gates. And then last month, The order was issued to stop protecting him. And the mainstream media knew for years and years and years about the affairs that he had when he was the chairman and CEO of Microsoft. They've known about that for years. They've known about for years that Bill Gates had a very disturbing relationship with convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. That was not a secret. The mainstream media knew about that. We wrote about that over a year ago. Maybe it was even 2 years ago that we wrote about the strange and disturbing connection between Bill Gates and the fact that he started a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein after his conviction for child sexual abuse. Bill Gates did not have a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein before Epstein was convicted in a court of law and went to prison and then came out. It was after his conviction that Bill Gates struck up a relationship and went to his house about a dozen times. And I am still waiting for the proof to come out that he flew on the Lolita Express. I've seen a couple of pictures on Google Images, not quite sure if they were real or photoshopped. But there seems to be at least some evidence to suggest that Bill Gates spent some time with the boys at the island, the private island of Jeffrey Epstein. But the point that I want to make is that for years and years and years, they kept their mouth shut about the real life activities of Bill Gates. Why? Because Bill Gates was on a mission. He was there to promote the one world government with a new world order. Bill Gates was there to promote vaccinations for every human being on the face of the earth. Bill Gates was there to promote implantable human microchip identification. And then last month, they decided that he had done everything that he was there to do. The vaccines were off and running. He spent well over $500 million to get the vaccines going last year. And then all of a sudden, they throw him under the bus. Did you ever ask yourself why they would do that? Why now? Well, why are they throwing Anthony Fauci under the bus? And we know that the connection between Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates goes back a long, long, long time. I showed you the article earlier in the program of Anthony Fauci with Bill Gates Sr. back in 2001. And then by 2010, Anthony Fauci had joined on to the leadership board of Bill Gates' Global Vaccine Action Plan. And so as far back as 2010, it says here that Dr. Fauci served a leadership role in the Global Vaccine Action Plan through partnership with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The Global Vaccine Action Plan was announced in 2010 as a public public-private partnership of the World Health Organization, the United Nations Children's Fund, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The plan will build on the successes of current work to achieve key milestones in the discovery, development, and delivery of life-saving vaccines to the most vulnerable populations in the poorest countries over the next decades. And doesn't that sound great? That's a very high and lofty goal, but that's not what they were accomplishing. That's not what they were working on. Bill Gates is the world's largest private donor to the World Health Organization. And so far, over the last 10 years, Bill Gates has given $4.1 billion personally to the World Health Organization. And because he has given them so much money, whenever he wants to go to South Africa or anywhere in the continent of Africa, and he wants to open up his laboratory and start his experiments, he goes there with the blessing of the World Health Organization because Bill Gates has given $4.1 billion to the World Health Organization. So this is how Bill Gates was able to come and go and do all these things. This is why Bill Gates formed a pact with Anthony Fauci from the very beginning. This is how all these relationships are linked together. Back in July of 2020, we told you Bill Gates and his Gavi Vaccine Alliance launching an AI-powered trust stamp combining a vaccine and digital biometric ID. And where were they launching that? They're launching that. They launched it last year in West Africa. Why do they go to the poorest parts of the world to do these things? Because this is where they perform their laboratory experiments. Nobody really, really cares about the poor people of Africa. And that's a shame, because we should care about the poor people of Africa. And we should be trying to help them, not harm them. And what Bill Gates does is he goes there with the blessing of the World Health Organization, and he performs these incredible experiments that the people of Africa do not want. And yet he's allowed access to that nation and to those people because he gives an incredible amount of money to the World Health Organization. So last month they decided that Bill Gates had accomplished what he was in place to do. And so whenever you serve Satan, he gives you wealth and power and money and prestige and influence right up to the moment that he's done with you. And then you get thrown on the trash pile like everybody else who serves Satan. And we did an article in July of 2020. Protesters in Africa reject COVID-19 vaccine from Gavi Alliance, saying they don't want to be Bill Gates' guinea pigs in racially motivated trials. And in that article, we showed you Bill Gates has been using Africa as his personal laboratory to carry out experiments on the people of the African continent. He can do this with the approval and authority of the United Nations and the World Health Organization, and you could too if you could donate $4 billion to the WHO like Bill Gates did. Now, I'm trying to show you that Bill Gates, we all know what an evil person Bill Gates is, but Anthony Fauci has been on that same team from the very beginning. Now, I'm going to play this clip for you, and I've played it maybe two or three times over the last year. And it's important that I remind you of what's in this clip, because we, about 8 months ago, we brought you this testimony from a man by the name of David E. Martin, and he is a CDC patent researcher. And listen to what David Martin said when he investigated the trail, the long bloody trail of SARS and COVID viruses going all the way back to 2003. Listen to what David Martin said about who owns the patents on SARS and COVID coronavirus. It's going to blow your mind. And remember, we brought you this about 8 months ago, and we were suspended on Twitter and suspended on Facebook for talking about these things. Take a listen to this.
I'm the developer of linguistic genomics, which was the first platform on which you could determine the intent of communication rather than the literal artifact of communication. But we've also used that technology for a number of other applications in defense and intelligence and finance. And most notably, in the early 2000s, my company was responsible for bringing down what was at the time one of the largest tax frauds in U.S. history. We maintained a series of inquiries into every individual, every organization, and every company that is involved in anything that either blurs the line of biological and chemical weapons or crosses that line in any of 168 countries. In 1999, there were 1 million patents digitized by IBM. And those million patents were the first time human innovation had been put into an electronic digital searchable format. We took that information and we did a very simple exercise using our linguistic genomics technology, where I made the horrific assessment that approximately one-third of all patents filed in the United States were functional forgeries, meaning that while they had linguistic variations, they actually covered the same subject matter. In 1999, patents on coronavirus started showing up, and thus began the rabbit trail.
March 2003, panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003, they sought to patent it. And they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it. We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
The World Health Organization has officially named the new novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The World Health Organization has declared
an international public health emergency.
Well, we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who's famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal.
So I just want to stop that clip there for a second, and I want to make sure that you understand what David Martin just said. You cannot patent something from nature. And his investigation showed that the CDC was putting a patent on the coronavirus. It is illegal. If something comes from nature, you didn't create it, you cannot put a patent on it. How is it possible that the CDC and Anthony Fauci was able to put a patent on coronavirus if it came from nature? I think you already know the answer to that question.
If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. Then either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
All right, so stop right there. Did you hear what David Martin just said? They had the means, they had the motivation, They had everything at their disposal to take this pathogen, apply gain-of-function research to it, and to juice up this virus to the point where it's going to do damage to millions and millions of people around the world. This is the smoking gun proof. When you add this to the emails that are coming out this week about Anthony Fauci and how Rand Paul has absolutely 100% shown that Anthony Fauci perjured himself, he lied under oath about gain-of-function research, do you see what this information from David Martin shows you? It shows you that starting all the way back in 1999 and accelerating beginning in 2003, the CDC, the NIH, and Anthony Fauci worked behind the scenes. They conspired to create something that could be unleashed on the human population. Did this virus originate from a laboratory in Wuhan? It absolutely did. But who financed it? Who made it possible? Anthony Fauci and the United States government. So when you look at everything that we've been going through on a global level for the last 15 months, this amounts to nothing less than biochemical warfare, not against any one particular people group, not against any one particular nation. But when you put all of these factors together, you see that the world's largest biochemical attack took place last year, and it shut down the entire world. That's what we're talking about.
Developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush? Let's keep that in mind.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going. But when the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do the stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No. You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say China did it. China could say the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is both of them are almost telling the truth.
So there you see the paper trail that leads directly to the doorstep of Anthony Fauci, the CDC, and the National Institutes of Health. This is exactly what brought on all the events that took place last year. This is what they've been working on for quite some time. This story just came across my desk from the Daily Mail UK. The Chinese military engineered mice with humanized lungs in 2019, right before the pandemic erupted. And it says here, the mice developed using CRISPR gene editing technology were mentioned in an April 2020 study. The study researched their susceptibility to SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes the COVID-19 illness. Vanity Fair revealed in a bombshell investigation. Of the study's 23 co-authors, 11 of them worked for the Academy of Military Medical Sciences, the Medical Research Institute of the Chinese Army. Are you starting to see what is the truth behind the events of the last 15 months? Are you starting to see that all of this was planned? None of this was accidental. None of this was by a freak of nature or some sort of a species jumping into a different species or anything like that. This didn't start with bats. This didn't start with Chinese people eating bat soup. They used the bats to test the COVID-19 variants. They injected the bats to see what would happen when they did gain-of-function research on the virus. It's not the other way around. This thing didn't jump from nature into bats and then people ate bats and then got COVID-19. That is absolute nonsense. But what did happen is the researchers in the Wuhan laboratory, funded by Anthony Fauci, they injected the bats with the COVID-19 strains that they were supercharging, that they were performing gain-of-function research on, and then this virus was released into the entire world. Do you remember back in the early days of COVID-19, back in January of 2020, back in December of 2019, when the Chinese whistleblowers said that these things are happening, and then those people just disappeared. They just really kind of fell off the face of the earth. Where did those people go? They were immediately neutralized. We did an article back in February of 2020, says first American has died of exposure to coronavirus in Wuhan, China, one day after the death of original whistleblower Li Wenliang was covered up. And so when this started getting out and when this started hitting the public, there was a huge rush to cover everything up. And that's exactly what they did. And they are still doing a cover-up here in June of 2021. And the reason why they're throwing Anthony Fauci under the bus right now is they are hoping that by sacrificing Fauci, that will make people stop investigating. That will make people say, okay, we found the problem. Anthony Fauci lied. And then Anthony Fauci gets punished, though I don't think that that will happen because the liberals are in charge. But it should happen. Anthony Fauci is a horrific liar, and he has the blood of millions of people on his hands. There is no question about that. But the reason why the New World Order is sacrificing Anthony Fauci is because they want the investigations to stop. They don't want the truth coming out. And we told you the truth last year. And with all the events that have taken place over the last 12 months, the things that are taking place this week show you that everything that we told you last year was absolutely right and absolutely true. None of this is a surprise to me. The only surprise is that it took this long for it to come out. But I am very suspicious how it came out and why is it out right now. And when you think about it, the only possible and plausible explanation is that they are throwing Anthony Fauci to the wolves because they want people to stop looking into the situation. Now, let's talk about gain-of-function research for a moment. For those of you who don't know what gain-of-function research is, gain-of-function research is taking a virus or taking any sort of a pathogen and putting it into the laboratory and performing genetic experiments on the virus, on the bacteria, on the pathogen to make it more deadly to human beings and to make human beings more susceptible to receiving it. That's what gain of function research is. The function that they're gaining is the ability to make the pathogen 10 to 15 times more deadly than it would normally be. COVID-19 is not a very deadly virus. By itself, it has a 99.2, 3, 4% recovery rate. COVID-19 by itself, left alone, is not all that deadly. But after they performed gain-of-function research on it, it got much more deadly. Remember all the symptoms that people talked about? They felt like their whole body was buzzing. They felt like their whole body was had waves of electricity going through it. People, they lost their sense of smell. They lost their sense of taste. They had horrific headaches. People got pneumonia. People were on ventilators for months at a time. And there seemed to be no end to the very bizarre and unusual symptoms that this pathogen, COVID-19, would present itself as in human beings. And the reason why those symptoms were so bizarre, it's because they performed gain-of-function research on COVID-19. And then they released it to the human population around the world. And it killed millions and millions of people. Now, the important thing to take away from that, if that's what they did to the virus, they performed gain-of-function research on the virus so that it would be 10 to 15 times more deadly in the human body, and you would be 10 to 15 times more susceptible to the virus once you were exposed to it. If they did that to the virus, what do you think that they have done to the vaccine? And I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, the VAERS website says that just about 5,000 people have died from receiving the COVID vaccine. And hundreds of thousands, coming up over a half a million people, have had adverse reactions to it. But what do you think is going to happen when they turn the switch that activates the secret particles that are really in that vaccine? Just like they performed gain-of-function research on the virus, what sort of gain-of-function do you think is lurking inside those COVID vaccines that's going to be activated at some soon-to-be-named future time? That is the next bombshell that's waiting to go off. Everybody has gotten used to the idea of COVID now. Everybody got used to the idea of wearing masks. Everybody got used to the idea of lockdowns. Now, everybody is getting used to the idea of receiving the COVID-19 vaccination. But just as they performed gain-of-function research on the virus, my question to you is, what sort of gain-of-function research was done to the mRNA vaccine? And what's going to happen when they turn it on? That's the question that I have for you. Tucker says, why did they lie to us for so long? Take a listen to this.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. A little over 15 months ago, a group of Chinese scientists working on the ground at the scene of the outbreak of a brand new virus came to the conclusion that the novel coronavirus probably escaped from a government lab in Wuhan. These Chinese scientists said that in the clearest possible terms and then posted it on the internet. From our perspective, this struck us as an amazing and important story, and also, by the way, plausible. We expected a flurry of media interest in it. Where did this virus come from? That seemed worth knowing as people were dying of it. But no one asked the question. Instead, there was silence, punctuated only by occasional smirking about anti-Asian racism and conspiracy theories. And that's where it stood for more than a year, until just a few weeks ago. Then suddenly, for reasons we still don't really understand, all the smirking morons in the American news media changed their view completely overnight. Of course Corona escaped from a Chinese virology lab, duh. What do you think, it came from a wet market? Come on. That was the new consensus. An avalanche of evidence followed. The Wall Street Journal confirmed that the first corona victims seemed to have been researchers working with bat viruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. BuzzFeed then obtained thousands of emails showing that Tony Fauci knew from the beginning that COVID may have been manufactured in China in dangerous experiments he helped pay for. The lab leak theory, it turns out, was never crazy. It was always likely true. So why did they lie to us about it for so long?
I'm going to stop Tucker right there for a second. He's saying some really good stuff. But again, I want you to apply what they're saying about the virus. I want you to understand the level to which they lied to us for 15 months. I want you to remember all of the people that were silenced on social media and called conspiracy theory nutcases. And I want you to apply everything that we're understanding now about this intentional deceit that was conducted not on the American people, but on the global population. And I want you, I need you to apply it to the vaccine. If they lied to us about coronavirus, if they lied to us about the Wuhan lab, if they lied to us about the bats, if they lied to us about everything else, why on earth would you ever think, even for one single solitary second, why would you think that they're now telling you the truth about the vaccine? They are not telling you the truth about the vaccine. My friend Lori D. from Pennsylvania, she called me up about a week ago and she said, look, I want you to watch this series on Amazon. It's a TV show called V, like the letter V as in Victor, V as in visitor. And she said, look, I want you to watch, it's only two seasons, but I want you to watch every episode of this TV show called V, and I want you to see what's taking place there. So I started binge watching this about a week ago, a week and a half ago. And the whole premise of this show called V from 2009, it shows aliens who arrive here. And the UFOs, there's 29 motherships, and they park themselves on top of 29 major cities around the world, like Hong Kong and New York City and Paris and all sorts of places like that. And the whole concept is the aliens, they want to take over, and they do it through a vaccination program. Now, isn't that interesting that as far back as 2009, here is yet another predictive programming situation where they are showing you how the entire world is going to be deceived through a vaccination. And we have done many, many articles about cartoons and children's shows and all sorts of different things where they inexplicably are showing you predictive programming through a vaccine. We told you back in 2016 there was a children's movie called Hedgehogs. Now that sounds like an interesting movie for kids. And in this movie from 2016 called Hedgehogs, this movie showed you and you know what? Before I get into that, let me finish this clip with Tucker. Take a listen.
A shocking new piece in, of all places, the celebrity suck-up magazine Vanity Fair answers that question in great detail. You should read it. In short, many research scientists are addicted to American tax dollars. If the American public understood just how recklessly they have behaved, endangering the entire world with their weird little experiments in poorly regulated labs in China, that money might dry up. As a former NSC official called Jamie Metzl put it succinctly, quote, if the pandemic started as part of a lab leak, it had the potential to do to virology what Three Mile Island and Chernobyl did to nuclear science. Can't have that. Got to keep the money flowing. So they lied about it. And then they intimidated anyone who tried to tell the truth. That would include the director of the CDC, Robert Redfield. Redfield received death threats from scientists after he suggested that the virus may have come from a lab.
I am of the point of view that I still think the most likely etiology of this pathogen in Wuhan was from a laboratory, escaped. Other people don't believe that. That's fine. Science will eventually figure it out. It's not unusual for respiratory pathogens that are being worked on in a laboratory to infect a laboratory worker.
It's not some guy on Twitter. That's the former director of the CDC. So you think the world would stop and ask follow-up questions such as, why do you think that? Where's the evidence? But that's not what happened. Quote, I was threatened and ostracized because I proposed another hypothesis, Redfield told Vanity Fair. I expected it from politicians. I didn't expect it from science.
So there you have Tucker saying that when people tried to tell the truth, when people tried to ask real, honest questions about what was going on, immediately they were shut down, they were ostracized. In some cases, people lost their jobs, they lost their standing, their reputations were tarnished. In most cases, people were simply removed from social media like Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. I have been suspended so many times on Facebook. I mean, it is dozens and dozens and dozens of times that Facebook has suspended me from posting for 7 days. Days at a time, 14 days at a time, a month at a time, 6 weeks at a time. I have been suspended multiple times on Twitter for telling the truth as well. And over the last year, a number of these suspensions had directly to do with me telling the truth about the origins of this virus and the people behind it. I was telling you just a few minutes ago about a children's movie called Hedgehogs back in 2016. A children's movie called Hedgehogs back in 2016. And in the film, we see people dressed in bio suits, and we can see them spraying a city street with a disinfectant upon the onset of an outbreak. The uncanny scene literally mimics the 2020 footage coming out of Wuhan, China to a T. As a result of the pandemic scare, in the movie, people put on masks immediately out of fear. Does this remind you of anything? In the film, in order for the star hedgehog to get placed in a new home with a good family, he had to show a clean bill of health and later be vaccinated in order to return to society. Now, here's the question that I have for you. Why, in a 2016 children's cartoon, why are they showing you the exact equivalent of the events that this whole world has gone through over the last 15 months? Now, interestingly, in this movie, Hedgehogs, there is an evil man. And he is the world's richest man. And he is the one who is demanding that everybody receive a vaccine if they want to return to society. I kid you not. Go watch this movie for yourself. 2016 Hedgehogs. It's a children's cartoon. And yet it predictively, programmingly shows you all the events that we have not only gone through, but the events that we're going through right now. They called it Operation Bye-Bye. What was Operation Bye-Bye? That was when the world's richest man had you injected with a vaccine, and then you went bye-bye. Now, does this sound, if you're a parent, and you have kids that are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I can remember lots of times taking my kids when they were young and we would go to a movie, we'd go to a cartoon, we'd go to a Pixar film, and we would enjoy it very much. But what's enjoyable about a children's cartoon that is showing you a global pandemic where the streets are sprayed with disinfectant, everybody has to put a mask on, and then there's a character who's the world's richest man who injects you with a vaccine that ultimately kills you? Is there, would you want your children watching that cartoon? I certainly absolutely would not. I did not. I did not take my children to see hedgehogs back in 2016. But these things, this is what we call predictive programming. So even though the subject of today's podcast is Anthony Fauci, and we're talking about the lies and deception that were connected, that are connected, that have been revealed through these emails, the lies and deceptions that are connected to the COVID-19 virus, you really need to apply the principle of everything that we're talking about right now, not to the COVID-19 virus. I want you to apply it to the COVID-19 vaccine. Because just as we're sitting here, and I want you to think about this now, just as we're sitting here right now, and I told you at the start of this program that we were going to take a victory lap today. And whenever I say that we're taking a victory lap, I'm simply acknowledging that the world has finally caught up to the things that we said months and years ago. And we're applauding them for catching up with us, and we're taking a victory lap about that. So while we take a victory lap about everything that we've said about the COVID-19 virus, if you fail to apply it to the COVID-19 vaccine, you are going to do yourself a huge disservice. Because I believe with all my heart that there is something in that mRNA vaccine that they can turn on, that they can throw a switch. There is some sort of a nanoparticle in that vaccine. And again, this is just my opinion. And hopefully I'm still allowed to have an opinion in 2021 America. But it is my opinion, based on my understanding of technology, my 10 years of working for Big Pharma. I worked for three of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies as a graphic designer, but I got to sit in on a lot of high-level meetings, okay? So I have a fair amount of pharmaceutical understanding in my wheelhouse, and I am telling you that there is something in that mRNA vaccine. I don't know what it is, but the Lord will show it to me at some point. I have no doubt about that. The Lord has showed, he shows me everything else. I am positive that at some point it's going to come across my desk and I'm going to say, there it is. That's it. Now I know why God gave me a suspicion about that. But I am telling you that there is something in that mRNA vaccine that they can turn on, and at some point they're going to throw that switch, and all hell is going to literally erupt. And that's where we are, January 4th of 2021. This is the precipice that we find ourselves on. Let's finish taking a listen to Tucker.
But maybe he should have. Redfield had dared to buck the orthodoxy that had been imposed by the global scientific establishment. It began on February 19th. 2020, just as the virus was getting to this country and scaring the hell out of all of us. At that moment, one of the leading science journals in the world, The Lancet, published a letter that was signed by 27 scientists. That letter declared flatly and for all time that the coronavirus did not originate in a lab in Wuhan, and that you'd have to be a bigot to believe otherwise. Now, that letter, we now know, was organized by Peter Daszak. Daszak is a man with everything to gain by pretending that COVID came from a wet market. Daszak was involved in gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Emails show that Peter Daszak carefully selected other signatories to the Lancet letter so that this obviously disqualifying conflict of interest would remain secret. At one point, Daszak wrote to another scientist called Ralph Baric, who was also working on gain-of-function research in China, telling him not to sign the letter. Here's why. Quote, "We'll put it out in a way that doesn't link it back to our collaboration so we maximize an independent voice," end quote. So the whole thing was a fraud, and yet it worked. It was in The Lancet. Everyone trusts The Lancet. In fact, Tony Fauci himself cited Daszak's letter as proof that the virus was not caused by research he was funding.
If you look at the evolution of the virus in bats and what's out there now, it's very, very strongly leaning towards this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated, the way the mutations have naturally evolved. A number of very qualified evolutionary biologists have said that everything about the stepwise evolution over time strongly indicates that it evolved in nature and then jumped species.
And there you have Anthony Fauci literally lying his face off when he is talking about how the virus originated in nature. That is absolutely 100% not true. Remember what David Martin said. You cannot put a patent on something that originates in nature because you did not create it. It is part of the natural world that God created. You can't put a patent on water. You can't put a patent on air. You can't put a patent on anything that naturally occurs in nature. And yet, Anthony Fauci and the CDC absolutely had and still has a patent on the COVID-19 and SARS coronavirus family. So everything that man is saying is a complete and total lie. Now, I want to direct your attention to a story that we brought you back in March of this year. And just a couple of months ago, we told you that biotech scientists at the Bill Gates-funded Moderna Therapeutics bragged about using mRNA to hack the kingdom of life. And this is what the people at Moderna talked about. They said, if you can hack the rules of mRNA, essentially the entire kingdom of life is available for you to play with, says Hoge, a physician by training who left a position as a healthcare analyst to become Moderna's president in 2012. And they said that the mRNA vaccine, he says this, the vision of an mRNA drug has beguiled scientists for decades. It's a huge idea, says Michael Hartline, who heads mRNA research at a competing biotech called RANA Therapeutics, just a few blocks away. Any protein target where you can think of a potential therapeutic, you can approach that with the mRNA. The single-strand molecule sets up a temporary protein factory outside a cell's nucleus and attaches to ribosomes. This cellular machinery translates its sequence of four kinds of nucleosides into a protein, and then it degrades within a day. And he says, if you can hack the rules of mRNA, now this is being said by the people at Moderna that received tens of millions of dollars from Bill Gates. Remember when Bill Gates famously said in the early days of 2020 that he was going to help fund seven new vaccine factories? Well, that was a misleading statement. What Bill Gates really meant to say is that he was going to fund seven pharmaceutical companies, not create seven vaccination factories. And so what Bill Gates did is he took $500 million and he gave it to companies like Moderna in Texas, and he gave it to them with the idea that they are going to develop this mRNA technology, which the president of Moderna says it is essentially the entire kingdom of life available for you to play with. And that's exactly what they've been doing. They have been playing with the kingdom of life. And they have created these vaccines that are now in the bodies of a couple of billion people around the world. I read an article earlier today where they are now starting to vaccinate children. As young as 6 years old, children around the world are receiving the mRNA vaccine from one of the seven companies that Bill Gates promised you was going to create these vaccines. And now you have the president of Moderna telling you that this technology allows you to hack the kingdom of life. Now, when you get to Revelation chapter 9, and if you have your King James Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 9. And the Bible says this. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 9. It talks about something called sorceries. And the word, the Greek word used for sorceries is pharmakia. And I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but in Revelation 9, take a look at verses 20 and 21. Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils in idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So in Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, talking about verses that from a doctrinal perspective, when we rightly divide Revelation chapter 9, we see that this takes place during the time of the Great Tribulation after the rapture of the church. We will not be here for this time period that I'm referring to in Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. But it's interesting to note that in verse 21, it says that these people who are receiving God's judgment in the time of the Great Tribulation, they are not repenting of their pharmakia. That's where we get our word pharmacy. When we talk about big pharma, that's the exact same word that is a Greek word which means voodoo, magic, spell casting, sorcery, drugs. Isn't that interesting? That Revelation chapter 9, 20 and 21 tells you that big pharma is going to play a big role in the Great Tribulation. Sorcery, the English word sorcery, comes from the Greek word pharmakia. So when you think about those things, and then you read articles about the people at Moderna, and they are using their new technology to hack the kingdom of life, I believe that that's exactly what they're doing. Now, if you really wanted to get really far out and really crazy, if you really wanted to talk conspiracy theory, which I am more than happy to do, if you really want to talk about conspiracy theory, how about this one? Could it be possible that whatever in these vaccines is connected to chemtrail spraying that is connected to the 5G network? Now, I'm just asking a question. I'm not saying that I have even thought this through. But as I sit here talking about this topic with you, is it possible that whatever is in those mRNA vaccines and whatever is in those chemtrails that they're spraying all around the world, and whatever the real story is about 5G technology, wouldn't it be something if it was all connected. They spray the chemtrails over the top of your head. The nanoparticles float down. You breathe them in. They take the vaccine with the mRNA technology and they inject it inside your body. Then they turn on 5G and they send a signal out around the world. Is it possible that the COVID vaccine, the chemtrails, and 5G technology, and hey, I'm just asking a question, I don't know, but is it possible that all these things are connected together?
Oh, of course, it couldn't have been us. So really, this is a story about the self-licking ice cream cone that is the federal bureaucracy. No matter how badly they screw up, it's never their fault. Ooh, we didn't imagine WMD in Iraq, etc. Pick your screw up. It's your fault, racist. But it wasn't just Tony Fauci and the federal bureaucrats who cited that letter. Self-described fact checkers, the one who control the flow of information in our country now, used the Lancet letter to censor anyone on social media who mentioned the possibility of a lab leak. It can't be true. The Lancet says it's not true. 27 eminent scientists say it's not true. Only a few scientists in the face of all of this dared to speak up. One of them was called Gilles Dumanouf. He formed a group of researchers called DRASTIC. That's an acronym for Decentralized Radical Autonomous Search Team, something that all scientists should be. Jamie Metzl, the former NSC official, soon joined the group. Almost immediately, as early as April of last year, it was becoming clear to Metzl that the lab leak theory was not a conspiracy theory. In fact, it was plausible.
I think that if I had to just bet based on what I've read and logic, I would bet it's most likely this was an accidental leak from a lab.
So it turns out that Metzl wasn't exactly speculating on that. Unlike the scientific establishment, he and DRASTIC had evidence that they had bothered to gather. They found that the official scientific consensus had, in fact, been doctored at the source. In one instance, they discovered that Xi Jingli, the bat lady in Wuhan, had collected samples of a bat coronavirus that were virtually identical to COVID-19. Where did she get these samples? Well, she found them in a cave in the Yunnan province in China. Several miners had been killed there after inhaling the bat guano left by these bats. She recognized this virus was significant because it had moved directly to humans without going through an intermediate animal host first. The Chinese seemed to be looking for the most dangerous virus they could find, and in that cave they found it. After the coronavirus pandemic began, Xi Jingli tried to hide that COVID-19 was virtually identical to this virus that she had collected in the mine. In her records, she renamed the virus to hide its source. Peter Daszak then published a paper with Xi Jingli categorizing all the various coronavirus strains they had encountered in recent years. The paper listed hundreds of them. And yet somehow, and you'll be surprised by this, they omitted the deadly viruses found in the Yunnan mine. Funny. Were those viruses significant? Well, the government of China appears to think they are. Late last year, journalists with the BBC tried to visit that mine to get some answers. And when they got there, they were followed by plainclothes police officers. They found the road to the mine had been blocked by a broken down truck. So the Chinese government covered this up. But here's the worst part and the most shocking part if you're an American. Some within the U.S. government helped them cover it up. They knew all along this was going on, but they buried the truth too, because their interests were aligned with the interests of the Chinese government. Christopher Park, a director in the State Department's Non-Proliferation Bureau, told the agency's investigators, quote, not to say anything that would point to the U.S. government's own role in gain-of-function research. Now, why would he say that? It turns out that Christopher Park was involved in the 2017 decision, a world-changing decision, it turned out, to lift the federal moratorium on funding gain-of-function research. Vanity Fair obtained a memo from Thomas DiAnano, who was then the acting assistant secretary of the State Department's Arms Control Bureau. In that memo, he wrote that staff from two State Department bureaus had warned leaders within his office, quote, not to pursue an investigation into the origin of COVID-19 because it would, quote, open a can of worms. These are Americans working to hide the truth of the origin of COVID-19 from a country that's been destroyed by COVID-19. You can't prevent outbreaks unless you know where they came from, and yet federal bureaucrats prevented us from learning where this one came from. One of the officials who wanted to shut down the probe was Chris Ford, acting Undersecretary for Arms Control and International Security. A former administration official with direct knowledge of the probe, direct knowledge, tells this show that Chris Ford was briefed about the lab leak investigation earlier than December 2020, when Ford claims he first heard about it. We are told that Ford wanted it shut down. He was overruled by the Secretary of State at the time, Mike Pompeo. Ford, by the way, was not a permanent bureaucrat. He was a political appointee, but he spoke for many in the career bureaucracy, many of whom, we are told, wanted to bury the probe out of political animus. They didn't like the administration they served, and they didn't want to give it points. They accused anyone who asked questions about where the virus came from of being a conspiracy theorist. And in our conformist culture, that's enough to shut people up. In other words, they acted just like the people you see on TV, just like MSNBC anchors. They did not act like federal officials who have been sworn to protect American lives. They weren't protecting American lives. They were protecting the consensus, and that endangered American lives. As for actual MSNBC anchors, well, they have regressed to a childlike state of incoherence. Watch this dopey little fangirl swoon over Tony Fauci like he's the bassist in a boy band.
As you learn more and more, you've got to continue to evolve with the data. And that's what I was trying to do, is to always tell the truth on the basis of what the data is. And it was never deliberately something against the president. In fact, you spoke about my emails. You look at my emails, I never in the email said anything derogatory about President Trump.
Well, the true mark of someone is if they look good, even when their personal emails come out. So you pass the test that very few of us would pass.
I love you, Tony Fauci. Still talking about Trump. That's where some of them still are. But there are still adults in this country. Hey, Sean Hannity here.
All right, so there's Tucker talking about Anthony Fauci, talking about why did the entire system lie to us for so long. And if you've been listening to Now the End Begins for any length of time, we've been telling you the truth from the very beginning. And we will continue to tell you the truth. And that truth, and this is the last thought that I want to give you today. And I want this thought to remain in your head. We are getting past the lockdowns. We are slowly but surely getting past the mandatory mask wearing. But the real danger is in the vaccine. Just as they lied to us about the origins of the vaccine and where it was created and who owns the patents and all those things, they have lied to us about everything from the very beginning. The Democrats have lied. The Republicans have lied. And every country around the world, their leaders have told their people lies to keep them in line. They are lying to you about the vaccine. That vaccine is deadly. It is deadly to the people, to the thousands of people who take it and die days later. It is deadly to the hundreds of thousands of people with the adverse reactions, some of them paralyzed from the neck down. But the real deadly part about the vaccine is going to be revealed in the near future when they flip that switch and they turn it on. And they are going to create a global race of zombies. And I know that sounds crazy, but guess what? Everything that we told you last year about the real truth behind the COVID virus, they said we were crazy for that. And this week we find out that we were 100% right the whole time. And I believe that I am 100% right about the COVID vaccine. It is deadly. It is dangerous. It is software for an operating system. Take it at your own risk. Take it at your own peril. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to this Prophecy News podcast. Lord willing, we'll see you all back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m., for another edition of our NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
in liberating strife. Who more than self? Yeah, country loved. Singing something like this. Listen here. Oh, beauty by far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Above the fruited plain. Well, now wait a minute. I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed His grace on thee. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
From sea.